The Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live.
Thanks for being with us. We have Michael Fabiano. It's Fabs. That means it's Fantasy Football Inside and Out, one of our more popular segments. Michael Fabiano, the Hall of Famer. He's been with us for the last 8 years doing his thing. He will be with us. Devin Henry. Devin, part of Sports 360 AZ, one of our storytellers who covers the sport of speed. It is the NASCAR Championship. You know, we have the Super Bowl, we have the Final Fours, we have the greatest show on grass. We have all these big events that roll through. And every year, the NASCAR National Championship Series event, the last event of the year, is in Phoenix. And it's this weekend. And there's going to be 250,000 fans that are camping out there. They'll glamp, they'll camp, they'll do whatever. And then they'll let in about 40,000 plus, and they take it all in. And it's one of those best-kept secrets in our sports scene. If you're new to the area, yeah, NASCAR's a big deal out here, and Devin is in it inside and out. I don't even know two of the drivers that are in it. I don't. Call me guilty. You know, I know Chase Elliott. I know Joey Logano. I don't know the other two. So what's Devin looking forward to this weekend? I'm in the sport of speed. Devin's actually going to be hosting a couple of TV shows over on Bally Sports, the Sports 360 shows that we do, and Devin will be hosting them from out at the track. Opening comments are brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. That is Desert Financial Credit Union. As always, we appreciate their support. Steve Nash got fired today, or he quit, depending on which way you want to look at it. I'm going to lead with basketball. The Suns have a big game tonight. More on that in a minute. Some guys are cut out to be head coaches. They are. Sometimes head coaches, it looks great on the outside. Remember when Michael Jordan coached? Remember when Magic Johnson coached? Didn't work. Steve Nash is a head coach. I would say that the group of players that they've assembled there in Brooklyn was pretty much the end of Steve Nash. You know, so he's gone, Jacques Vaughn, and they're phrasing it of either he got fired or they mutually agreed to part ways, whatever. Steve Nash is out at Brooklyn. And we're not even a month into the season. We're not even like 3 weeks into the season, and he's gone. Pull the ripcord. Get me out of here. And so they go with Jacques Vaughn on the interim basis. I would imagine Udoka, who was let go at Boston. I would imagine Quinn Snyder, who was let go or parted ways with Danny Ainge. I would imagine there's that. Then you look over at Brooklyn, and this does involve the Suns a little bit. Kevin Durant going to weigh in now. Hey, man, I didn't sign up to be with this coach. I didn't sign up to go this direction. Get me out of here. I've said this, that let's see about the Kevin Durant stuff when we get to mid-January. When it gets to trading season, let's just see. Everybody has been saying, oh, well, they lost out on KD here in Phoenix. Well, they did for October, November, December, and January. And do they go out and make the deal? I just think it's really interesting how Kevin Durant is going to feel about this. And is this going to reignite the, yeah, I want out of here mode? Or will this like revitalize him where he felt like Steve Nash was not my guy? But there is a Suns tie-in to what took place today in Brooklyn. In terms of the Suns tonight, I am not one that gets wound up about regular season games. It's fine. I can sit here and hype squad all day long. But, you know, on the surface through the years, the last couple of years, not through the decade of decline, but through the last couple of years, when it's the Suns against Minnesota, it's usually a W. They've had Karl Anthony Towns, and that's about it. Well, that's not the case any longer. Anthony Edwards has really grown into his role, along with Karl Anthony Towns. D'Angelo Russell, up and down career in the NBA, still a very good player. And then they added Rudy Gobert. Suns are not going to have DeAndre Ayton tonight. The Suns going to try and run him off the court? I don't know. Interesting game, though. Suns, Timberwolves, that will be tonight. Last night, so the Sesmats, we go in on holidays. We did, you know, I did full-size candy bars last night. Trick-or-treaters come along, and I size them up, and we have this candy dish that is filled with, like, you know, gummy worms and small pieces of candy. And that's for the little squids. There's like a 16-month-old in the back of a wagon last night that mom and dad came up, and 16-year-olds crashed out, giving me a look like, yeah, man, I got a nice ride around here, but mom's going to get me some candy. And this little fireman that rolled in, maybe three, walked up, four maybe, walked up, asked, said thank you. It was cute. We were not overrun with kids in our neighborhood, which is unfortunate. There were quite a few, but it wasn't as busy as I thought it was going to be. I did not dress up, but we go sit out front. We, you know, the scary Halloween music on. We have the decorations and all that stuff, but I'm a full-size candy bar guy. And so my wife actually is. She went and got them, and I had that bowl hidden behind the chair. So I'd size up like the ones that dressed up really well or the ones that, you know, were a little older. Like, what are you guys doing out here? Here's a full-size candy bar. And they just kind of gasped like, and they just wanted to mac out it right there. And, of course, me being me, it's, you know, I'm not going to touch this stuff. But somehow, some way, because I had the Bengals and Browns game on, there was no World Series last night because of rain. I had my smart TV. I'm watching Bengals and Browns. I've got myself an adult beverage. I had to sample what we were handing out, just one, so maybe two. But it was fine. It was fine. It was fun to be out, and it's good to see the neighbors, the ones that were out and do their thing. I am in this. I'm in this marriage that. We go through something here that she tells me is called snunkin season. I don't know what that means. I just know that my house gets transformed without my approval, without my consent. Am I speaking your guys' language? Like, I'm not even going to recognize what goes on here starting today. Supposedly today, the Halloween stuff is gone. And supposedly, like last year I hired a guy to put my lights up. I may just do it myself. But she's already kind of bringing this stuff up. I don't know if you're in that same boat. Kind of gives me something else to look forward to. Like, oh, wait, honey, I have to watch Phillies Astros tonight, which I am going to. So I'm too busy. I'm too well to attend to get this put together for you. That's the beauty of sports. Yeah, I got to work. Got to work. So Phillies Astros, in all seriousness, they get rained out. It's supposed to be beautiful, but they're going to play back to back to back. Like tonight, tomorrow, and Thursday in Philly, travel on Friday to Houston, play Saturday, Sunday. A week from now, World Series will be over. And the first two games for me, I watched Verlander a little bit in game one, and when it was 5-0, I was out. I had stuff to do. And so from there, of course, Phillies come back. I'm not rooting against Houston in the way of cheaters, as many are. I'm rooting for Philly because there's something about that team that has overcome a lot, and I want to see the National League win. Regardless, when the Phillies roll into town next year to play the Diamondbacks, there'll be more added buzz to it. There's just something cool about a team who hasn't been there in a while, so I'm rooting for Philadelphia. I don't root much, but it's like, I'd like to see them win. The college football scene. So ASU has UCLA this week. Does Sean Aguano have a shot in heck at being the head coach at Arizona State? It all came down when it first started. Like, well, what a joke this is. That's what I heard from a lot of the masses. What a joke. I'm not going to go buy tickets. I'm not going to go support. Okay. And then he comes out and puts together a pretty respectable performance against USC. And then they go and they beat Washington. And then they go lay an egg against Stanford. And then they bounce off that, and they get the job done at Colorado, as they're supposed to do. It's still not clean. It's still not perfect. But I see some momentum coming together for him in that he can make a compelling case. There are those that have turned the corner and said, well, really, it's not that big of a joke of a hire, because it's not. If you just take a step back and look at how he worked with running backs to develop them. Okay, Rashad White is in the NFL at Tampa Bay. Eno Benjamin over at the Cardinals. X Valaday is going to be in an opportunity to go to the combine and see where his future lies, even though it's only 1 year here at ASU. My point of it is if you're just one of those that says, well, he's a high school coach, you're not really given this much depth. And I can make the argument that you should just take the interim tag. Like if they beat UCLA on Saturday night, game's getting about 10:30, 10:45. I can guarantee you that down in the tunnel for all to see, unless they're out of town, but Michael Crow will be down there with Ray Anderson, president of the university and the athletic director. If they beat UCLA, a team that is ranked tonight, the college football playoff rankings will come out. UCLA probably around 10. If they are in that mix and they beat UCLA, then I really believe that the the players are probably going to go to the athletic director and the president and say, hey, man, what are we doing here? Give the guy the job. Or is ASU holding out for others? Because jobs like Auburn coming open yesterday, you're already going to hear Deion Sanders' name there. There's some fans, there's fans that want Deion Sanders at Arizona State. I just don't see it. You know, Lane Kiffin's name has been mentioned at Auburn. The uncertainty of the conference we've talked about and all of that lead me to believe that Sean Aguano, if all paths lead to what is the smart hire and the hire that with the current situation would not turn this thing upside down, I would probably lean towards Sean right now. I would. And there's other names, too, that we'll get to on it. But up next, it's Michael Fabiano. All things fantasy football with the Hall of Famer. Get your questions answered from the Fabs. Michael Fabiano, next. I'm Brad Sussmat. Here's Fabs. It is always good to catch up with Michael Fabiano every Tuesday, SI.com, SiriusXM, Fantasy Dirt, so many other places where you can find the Hall of Famer on the fantasy football front. The mailbag is somewhat ridiculous, like the encouraging Russell Wilson, what does Fabs think now stuff. So let's just get that one out of the way, because that was what a lot of the questions are about. Where's Fabs at on Russell Wilson and the Broncos? Because Jerry Jeudy did some things too.
He did, but Russell wasn't that good in fantasy again. They came out of London with a win, but Russell didn't help you in fantasy. I got to be honest with you. With the Broncos on a bye, I'd cut him if I needed a court. Like Justin Fields, go get him. I'd much rather have Justin Fields. He's been hot in the last 4 weeks. Russell kind of is what he is right now. I mean, we've already gotten through, you know, the first, 8 weeks of the season. How long are we going to wait until he turns things around? I mean, I don't know that he's going to. Courtland Sutton didn't have a big game last week. They're splitting the workload between Gordon and Latavius Murray. This is a team that we thought was going to be a goldmine in fantasy, and it's really been more of a wasteland. Like, Jeudy was pretty good. Greg Dulcich looks like a guy you pick up off the wire. But I would not be afraid to drop Russell Wilson if I needed a quarterback this week. And, heck, even if I didn't need a quarterback and Fields is out there on the waiver wire – I'm cutting Russell Wilson.
Let's go through the mailbag this week. Heinicke or Herbert?
Yeah. Isn't it crazy that this is even a question? Herbert's been bad. I think the stat is in his last four games, I think he's averaging like 14 points. It's brutal. He's one of the quarterbacks that has not lived up to expectations, but it's Atlanta. I mean, come on. There's no way I'm not playing Justin Herbert against the Atlanta Falcons, who just gave up a pretty big stat line in terms of the yardage to P.J. Walker last week. So I'm sticking with Herbert.
What do you think of Heinicke, Michael?
He surprised me. Now, we know that he can do some things because we've seen him. He was a starter last year. I think where his value is really helped is all of a sudden Terry McLaurin looks good, right? McLaurin was very inconsistent when Carson Wentz was the quarterback, and I kind of was surprised at that. I thought he'd be maybe a little bit more consistent, but Heinicke has helped him. He's winning games for the Commanders. They got the Vikings this week. They've only lost one game this year. I don't know that I'm starting Taylor Heinicke, but you got six teams off this week, Brad. Right. So there's going to be a lot of people out there who are having no other choice but to start a guy like Heinicke. And to be honest with you, at this point, I think you could do worse.
Well, and that's the Daniel Jones, and he's but Justin Fields. There's
last week.
Yeah, I mean, there's quarterbacks that are sitting out there. Like, for you to say Justin Fields, I get it. I'm seeing Justin Fields, and he's being productive.
He had 26 points last week. It was the highest point total for a quarterback against the Cowboys this year. And they've played Hurts, Burrow, and Brady. So that's saying something.
Fabs is with us. Okay, so this dovetails into Herbert. Keenan Allen, you just done? Is it just time to say, okay, shelf life is finished? Where are you at on Keenan Allen?
No, I mean, if he's playing, and I'm assuming he will. Like, he was really limited last week. They maybe shouldn't have even brought him back. They should have waited until after the bye. But again, Atlanta, their defense is horrible against wide receivers, and Mike Williams is hurt. I'm on the flip side of that, Brad. If Keenan Allen's active, he's almost a must start this week.
Okay. Rashad Bateman.
He's hurt.
Gus
Bradley. He's going to miss time. So yeah. Devin Duvernay is now going to be a guy you pick up off the waiver wire, and keep tabs on Mark Andrews because Isaiah Likely looked really good last week. And we know that Lamar likes to throw to his tight ends. Of course, most notably Mark Andrews, but if this is a game that Andrews misses, and this is a Monday night game, so you got to be really careful with Mark Andrews and watch the practice reports throughout the week. If he can't go, Isaiah Likely could be a very nice replacement. But again, it's a difficult situation to be in because they play Monday night against New Orleans.
Fabs is with us. Ayuk for Tony Pollard, straight up.
Trades like this, it really depends on what you need. Is it a fair trade? I mean, yeah, absolutely. Ayuk looked good last week, but no Debo. Pollard looked amazing last week, but he's not going to start when Zeke comes back. It's a fair trade. I'll say that. It's hard to really decipher whether or not a trade is good for one team or another without really knowing what their needs are. Mm-hmm. But it's a completely fair trade.
Hopkins for CD. Now, I don't get this one at all. I would not.
I'd rather have Hopkins. I'd rather have Hopkins. Yeah. Hopkins is hot. No Hollywood. Now, if Hollywood didn't get hurt, I don't know that Hopkins' targets would have gone up so much. I mean, he's gone off. And when Hollywood comes back, we're going to see what happens. But I think Hollywood's still going to be out for several more weeks. I keep Nuke. I mean, he's on fire.
A bunch of running back questions. Mostert. And I think we get Mostert every week. Mostert last week did not.
I know, but he got game scripted out. Like, people have to keep in mind, like, when we're talking about analyzing weekly matchups, he had a great matchup. A great matchup. Yep. Like Detroit, they're terrible. Detroit got ahead, surprisingly, and the Dolphins had to throw the ball. So game script caused Mostert to put up a stinker. I think he had 7.7 points. Now, Tyreek and Jalen Waddle and Gesicki all benefited because the Lions were giving it up through the air because the Dolphins had to throw to erase a deficit. I'm still starting Raheem Mostert this week against the Bears. Look what Tony Pollard did to them last week. Mm-hmm. So I get it. It's disappointing. It's not on Mostert. He's a little bit banged up, too, so make sure you keep tabs on his status. But if he's active, I'm playing him against the Bears.
Do you hear anything on Swift? Got a couple questions in the mailbag.
Yeah, he's – you know, Brad, I wrote an article a couple of years ago about the curse of Barry Sanders. I mean, I just came up with that name because Barry Sanders is, you know, the greatest Lions running back of all time. Sorry, Billy Sims. But ever since Barry Sanders retired, any running back that the Lions have drafted prominently, you know, first few rounds, they've all gotten hurt, right? You remember Javid Best, really good player, always hurt. Remember Kevin Jones, always hurt. Mykal LeShore, always hurt. He was a second round pick. And now it's kind of hit Best, Swift. And it stinks because he's so good. Last week, he was basically used as a pass catcher.
Right.
You got to keep tabs on his status. If he's active, you got to play him. He's super explosive, but damn, I wish he was more durable. And he just has not been durable at all, to the point now where with six teams off this week, we're in Bymageddon. Jamal Williams is going to be a starter in a lot of leagues.
All right, before I get you out of here, a couple guys you like this week, a couple things you may see this week. It's like keep an eye on this or that.
Atlanta's defense, and I've already mentioned it with Herbert and Keenan Allen, they're all banged up and they are giving it up big time. Big time. So don't be afraid to start Herbert. I mean, when I hear a question about Heinicke or Herbert, I'm like, wow, people are really freaked out about the Chargers. Play all your Chargers. Gerald Everett this week is a smash play. I love him this week. And then also, you've got six teams off. That's going to be the big storyline in fantasy football this week. It's the first Bymageddon of the year. And the NFL really screwed us too, by the way, Brad, because the next Bymageddon is the week before the fantasy playoffs. Mm. So that's going to be brutal. I believe it's week 14. So, hey, you're not going to be – I might have to start Ronnie Rivers in a league this week, okay? I'm just saying, like, don't go into the week thinking, oh, man, I'm done. Make sure you play the waiver wire. Go pick up a guy, say, for example, like an Isaiah Likely, who looks really good, or a guy like Justin Fields. You really got to hit the waiver wire hard this week. And, heck, maybe you're playing Caleb Huntley, who's at least getting touches and the Chargers can't stop the run. Like, just be smart. Don't expect a ton of fantasy points from these guys, but just be smart about it. Take your best shot, see what happens. I think Huntley's a really good play if you're desperate for a running back, and that guy's on the waiver wire in a lot of leagues. I'm not saying he's great.
Yeah.
He is a dart throw that is an educated dart throw because the matchup is really good and he's getting touches.
He is the Hall of Famer, the one and only Michael Fabiano. I'll see you next week. Thanks.
All right, pal.
And we're back with more after this timeout. It is race week at Phoenix Raceway. NASCAR Cup Championship Series is on Sunday. You have the Xfinity Series on Saturday. On Fridays, you have the trucks, and that means that Devin Henry, man about town. He hates it when I say sport of speed, but I'm going to say it anyways because it's rolled off the tongue that way for 35 years. He is going to be out at the track, all angles around this race. I know two of the drivers. I don't know two of the drivers when it comes to the Cup Championship Series. What is different for you coming into this week? Because back in March and leading up to it, all that you and I would talk about was next gen, next gen, next gen, next gen. That was the fourth race of the season. Well, this is the end of the season. So is this next gen, what have we gained from it? This isn't a topic. It's about these final four drivers. What about you? What do you see about next gen and the drivers?
Well, it certainly changed everything in terms of what's going on pit road, in terms of what's going on the track. The past couple of years, NASCAR have been freaking out about, oh, these big mile and a half racetracks. When NASCAR was at its pinnacle in the 90s, they built what is kind of now called the cookie cutters. They're all mile and a half racetracks. They're all about the same kind of size. And with the last group of cars, they were kind of lackluster races. It was just kind of like, eh, these are fine. The fans want more short tracks, the Martinsvilles, the Bristols. Those have more action, beating, banging, stuff that the fans like to see. And for the next-gen car, they focus on making those cookie cutters a little bit better. And boy, have they been better. Those mile-and-a-half racetracks went from some of the least-watched races of the year last year to some of the most exciting finishes here in 2022. So they've changed the racing completely, almost too much, because the short-track racing has become the more lackluster group of races. And that, unfortunately, includes Phoenix Raceway being a one-mile oval. It's kind of in the middle of mile and a half, half mile. So this race right here, after they had their test run in March, essentially, they're putting some extra stuff on the track. They've adjusted the cars a little bit. How can we make this race the pinnacle of the season here in the championship? And so far, the next-gen car has had its concerns about safety. We've had multiple drivers, including potentially one this most recent weekend, out because of concussions, which is unheard of really in the past few years to have three different drivers with concussion symptoms. But it's also really improved the driving, the racing. And as everyone that I've talked to has said, it forces these drivers to race these cars extremely hard every single lap. There's no breaks in these 500 mile races. It's just go, 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 go. And that is what a race car driver loves.
Devin, this race on Sunday, help me out here. The winner of the race does not win the championship, right? I mean, conceivably, you could come in not in first place. That's not the priority in this race, is it? It's just all about technically, we need to finish here and we win among these final four, right?
So, Brad, this is the easiest way to explain it. You've had kids. I'm sure that you watched the movie Cars. I'm sure at some point. Yep. It's basically the last sequence in Cars where there's three drivers tied in points. Whoever finishes in front of the other one wins the championship. The biggest difference, though, is that there's going to be 32 other cars on track, all fighting for the purse, the trophy, their own legacy, winning at Phoenix Raceway, or finishing off the season with a victory moving into next year. So you have all these drivers with a bunch of different agendas on top of the four drivers fighting to go into the NASCAR record books as a champion for all time. The difference is, though, is that what we typically see in this championship race is that the four championship drivers rise to the occasion every single time. So, well, on one hand, you don't need to win the race. We saw this in the truck race last year. Ben Rhodes did not win the race, but he did win the championship because he beat the other three championship competitors. But if you do win the race, that means that you definitely won the championship. And every single year in the Cup Series, at least, the winner of the race has been in the championship and therefore won that title race. So although you don't need to win, if you do win, that means you got the championship.
Okay, and I'm just wrapping my arms around that, and it makes sense. Joey Logano, I know. Chase Elliott, I know. I don't know the other two drivers. What am I getting into this weekend, the final four?
And that's where I think most of the casual NASCAR fans are going to understand. You have two former champions, Joey Logano back in 2018. I mean, they called him Slice Spread because he came into his career so young in the Cup Series, and they said he's the greatest thing since sliced bread. And he has become one of the best drivers in the series, one of the more aggressors in the series. Chase Elliott, the son of Awesome Bill from Dawsonville, Bill Elliott, one of the most popular drivers in NASCAR history, and won the first ever championship in Phoenix in 2020. The other two are guys on the rise. First of all, is Christopher Bell. Similar to Kyle Larson last year, he has come from a dirt racing background, and he is dang good at it. But the most important aspect of what Christopher Bell has done this year racing for Joe Gibbs Racing is he has had two of the biggest, clutchest walk-off wins in all of NASCAR playoff history. He won last week in a time when, if he didn't win that race, he wasn't going to be in the championship. In the round prior, at the Roval on a road course, he did the exact same thing. If he did not win that race, he wouldn't have been in the championship. So he has been the guy in the past 10 weeks to go and put himself out there to be the guy to be one of the favorites, because he has put himself in pressure situations and succeeded. Ross Chastain, he's kind of the guy that relates more to anyone else fan-wise than I think the other three drivers. He's a watermelon farmer. I mean, he's kind of those guys that back in the old days, this is what NASCAR drivers used to be. They were farmers, they were workers in the South. He was a watermelon farmer from Florida, made this dream a realization, and last week put on an unfathomable move at Martinsville, riding the wall like a video game, to put himself into the championship. He is another one of the most aggressive drivers in the series. He will do whatever it takes to win a championship. And fun kind of fact, he's racing for Pitbull. If you're a music fan, you're probably going for Ross Chastain.
That's cool. That's cool. Before I get you out of here, Devin Henry with us. He's going to be at the track at Phoenix Raceway throughout the weekend. You can see him on Bally Sports Arizona. He'll be hosting the Sports 360 show out there as well with lots of angles. What are you looking forward to this week?
You know, I just always enjoy going into Sunday. We do a lot of work. Thursday's going to be a big day just because of media day and working on getting one-on-one interviews, trying to get a little bit more in depth with the drivers. I do the same thing Friday, Saturday, and then on Sunday, I just try to take it in. You know, we were able to go to the Daytona 500 at the start of the year, thanks to our sponsors. And that was just an awe-endeavoring, eye-opening experience to see 101,000 people in a grandstand in front of me for a green flag. Phoenix Raceway is only 42,000, but pit road is packed. You see the cars coming in over the bridge down Avondale Road to get into the track, and it's just a monstrosity trying to get into the racetrack, seeing all this massive humanity trying to come watch the NASCAR championship. We are guaranteed to have the championship here for at least one more year, but I'm just excited to see another championship event. We've had Final Fours, Super Bowls, college football championships. We got all the PGA majors. I mean, the Valley is a host of championship atmospheres, and just be able to take that in again with the NASCAR Cup Series championship for at least two more years. That Sunday morning leading up to the race, that is always my favorite part of the championship. Just taking it all in.
It's good. It's good stuff. And we'll see your content on the site and, of course, on television on Bally Sports Arizona. Devin will be hosting the Sports 360 AZ show with his angles around the track. There's Devin Henry, and we're back with more after this time out.